Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 574. For September 25th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Kelly.
Tony.
Oh, you. Am I next? I'm sorry. I'm recording down the time for the main topic. I'm Countdown Tony.
There you go.
Helping me out so much. I'm Adriel.
And I am Kyle.
That's everybody.
There we go.
We don't have to go through Dustin or Div. So, yeah. So, welcome to the show this week. Yay. Adriel, why don't we get into what you did in guns this week? Tell us all about
stuff.
It. You did stuff?
I did some gun stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did some of that. Let's see, past weekend, I did a private ARPAL course.
Went very you did? Well.
Mm-hmm.
How many people were on that one? If it was private?
Not too many. That was just private. Yeah, just a small one.
Okay.
But a good group of people. And the nice thing about like a small group is that the testing at the end of the day goes a lot faster. Mm. I'm not there till, the evening hours, which is very nice. And then I was talking to my buddy and I'm going to be going for a pheasant hunt at the end of October. That'll be at the Tabor Pheasant Festival.
Hmm.
Yeah. Pheasants.
Cool.
I think I'm going to bring my.
What are you bringing?
Over under shotgun.
Yeah.
And maybe my 3.5-inch 3-gun shotgun if there's any geese. Because 3.5-inch is more than 3.
That is correct.
And I could put big, bad, stinking geese loads in that thing.
You're not going to use SSTs.
SSTs?
What they're called. Something super shot. Damn it.
No, I just got
TSS.
Some...
Sorry, my bad. Tungsten.
Yeah. TSX?
Tungsten shot.
Tungsten? Oh, no.
That's a little expensive.
No. I have this many guns because I'm cheap, not because I spend my money frivolously. This is where my frivolous money goes. No, I don't have any tungsten. I have steel shot BB and BBB for like really long range, like schmacking of the geese and shoulder. And then for the pheasant, I've got number 5 lead that'll be running in the over under. No, cool. Number four.
It's a festival. I've never heard of a pheasant festival.
That's what I mean.
It's not like you're going to have, dancing and lights and, pinatas that are pheasants. You're going out to shoot pheasants.
No, they let out some really weird looking birds. Yeah, we'll be there for 3 or 4 days. It's in the middle of the week, too.
Okay.
But I took it off work. Yeah, it'll be good.
Just say you're going to the festival.
What's that? Sorry.
Just say you're going to a festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're in Alberta. Cool. People understand.
Yeah. My work understands, Kelly. I tell them what I do. Like, what'd you get up to this weekend? I taught a bunch of people how to shoot marksmanship. What'd you do this weekend? Licensed a bunch of people on guns. What'd you do this weekend? Killed a bunch of stuff. They always know what the answer is.
Yes.
Something
the
with
answer
guns.
Is yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be exciting. I was posting some photos of this to my Instagram and the Slamfire Radio page, but this is a High Point
995TS high-end carbine.
995TS. It's got these little 5-round magazines because they're rifle magazines.
Yes.
Oh, how unfortunate. Here is a 1911 pistol magazine, right? With some dummy rounds in there. I'm not running live rounds.
I saw the Strong Com Primer.
Oh!
It fits.
Oh!
It works.
It fits. Oh! And it locks open and everything.
It locks open. Holy!
It locks open.
Holy Trinity of it fits, it feeds, and it locks open.
Now
that's impressive.
What did I have to do to make it fit? I had to open some stuff up on the. It's kind of ugly looking in there. Here, a second. Let's really get the light on there.
It's not even that bad. On the outside, you can't even see much. Just not. polish the ramp. Oh, you're good to go.
I didn't polish a ramp.
I'm just saying.
I just opened up that. I just opened up that magwell, yeah. And the magazine catch is a little bit too large. The magazine catch on these is bigger than the 1911 mags. But other than that,
done. You're good.
Here's my question: almost. Why didn't they just design it to fit 1911 mag? They're like
they should.
They're the most popular mag for like 100 years in the world.
Well, it's a 9mm 1911.
No one's going to claim this for copyright or trademark or anything. Come on.
No. But if you do look at it, like the 1911 9mm, you see it's got that spacer in the back? Yeah. You don't need to have that spacer. So they went with a more compact magazine with theirs. But more compact by like a quarter of an inch. Like, who cares? Who really cares? No one cares just about that. Anyways.
Freaking, how much are these magazines even? You can buy 1911 magazines, even 9mm ones, cheap.
Yeah, yeah, you can. Anyways, I did that. I broke and then fixed my website. I was talking to the guys about hosting
and
things and getting some stuff going and severely broke my website. And it was their fault. It was my host's fault, so... That was fun. And then I was like, at the same time, like, well, you know, I don't really care. Like the Hunting Gear Guy website, like, okay, someone can't get access to the article for a week. Who cares?
That was me.
But I'm losing registrants for my pack horses. I need that website up. So I made a separate one, hggfirearmstraining.ca. It's not very pretty, but it is functional and it is single purpose. So I got that. I bought a new motorbike, and I sold my other one. So I sold the KLR and I got
quick.
A D-Strom 1000. That's kind of what I do, Tony. I kind of buy a bike and ride it for a season and then sell it what I paid for it and then buy a different one. That's kind of what I do. Like,
people don't buy my shit. So
you gotta, maybe your ad needs to be better. Maybe you need better photography or maybe you just need to mention in passing to one of your friends that you're buying a new motorbike and then they buy your old one off of you right then and there.
No, not about bikes, but like other stuff. I used to be more into trading stuff when I was a kid, like buying, selling computer stuff.
Yeah. So I bought that. It came with a bunch of luggage. And then a buddy of mine mentioned like, hey, there's a cheap PC Carbine M-Lock version on Gunpost. You should try to buy it. So that I did, and it fit in the side luggage of that thing, so I could.
How much was it?
This thing?
Yeah,
$700.
Oh, good deal.
That's a good deal.
This is the version that I prefer. M-Lock front was the traditional back. There is also the chassis back, which is way too heavy. I don't really want. Given some of my friends shoots much better with a full pistol grip that. You wrap your thumb around. I'm like the same.
I think the length of pull on this one's quite short. It's one thing I noticed when I pull it up to my shoulder. I don't know if it's specific to this version or if there's some shims that should have been sold with this thing or not. But it's 12 and a half. It's 12 and a half inches, which is a little bit short on the length of pull. I find.
You know what? You need like, body armor. That's what you need.
That's what I need to fix this problem. Plates. Yeah. Yeah, I do like the takedown knob. There is a lot nicer on this one. The other one's just got like a rod, whereas this one's got kind of like an ergonomic shape for the button.
I didn't even notice that. I didn't know.
It's way nicer than the other one. Other than that, it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing.
Still takes down. The other version I really like is the Magpul one, so you can nest the two piece together. Kind of nice.
Yeah, that would be nice, especially for just chucking it in a side pack case and going to the range or something like that with it. Yeah, I could see it. Anyways, I got that. I reloaded a pile of 6.5 Carcano and 6.5 Swede. 6.5 Carcano, I think we made 160 rounds, somewhere like something like that. So I really got after it.
Are you loading 264 or 268 bullets right now?
Both.
Good answer.
Just to find out.
Oh, yeah. God. Did you at least separate it from 264 the grass?
Mine shoots the 264 fine. So right now, I am using the 268 to get rid of it. Because I don't need it. Just it shoots 264, fine. So why have two different kinds of 6.5 bullets? I have lots of other 6.5 bullets in 264. So I'm just going to shoot all the 268. And then once I'm done with that, all on the 264 gang.
That's always my hesitation about both the Carcano and the Mosin Nagant. It's the bullet, technically speaking, the factory mm-hmm. spec for the bullet is different.
Well, for the Mosin, you're buying surplus, though. For the Carcano,
that's true. Canada.
Yeah, but that 268, those 268 bullets you can buy from, where did I get it from? PPU. Inner Surplus.
Mm, Inner Surplus.
And it was fine. The pricing was fine. So, and you know how cheap I am. So if it wasn't fine, I wouldn't be buying it.
Mm, I might be cheaper on the whole shipping thing because China equals free shipping. So like paying for shipping? No. Can't do that. $1 shipping? No, can't do that. Too much.
Of cheap, or free. Okay, so on the last week's show, you saw I was like loading up those stripper clips. I should have printed one of these first. Oh my god. Okay, there's your holder there, holds a stripper clip. There, you just like lump them in there and it holds them all in there. And then you take this guy here and you push onto the stripper clip and that's it. That's how fast this thing loads a stripper clip.
Stripper clip guide, 3D printed. Very nice.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
I like that.
Boop. Done. You've loaded your stripper clip. Because otherwise, if you load them one by one, like, it's kind of a pain. This is faster. I should have done this for the 120 stripper clips I loaded at the one last show or whatever.
Yeah, that's barely a night of work.
It's not a lot, but it would have made it faster. Anyways, I like 3D printing for this kind of thing because this was like a 30 or hour long print and big quality of life difference. What else is on this list here that I missed or didn't hit? My Grey Birch order hasn't shipped, so I ordered something on July 5th. Still hasn't shipped.
I saw
shipped.
It was a stock for your super lightweight SBI build,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh. Still waiting on it. Still nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'd like to get that so I could use the gun. That'd be nice. It's kind of a cool gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some extra stuff in there. This weekend, Mighty Peace 3-gun team match. That's coming up. So I've got to start packing. I'm going to have to pack very carefully because there's 3 people and we're all going in my...
battle van. Vanguard. No. Well,
no battle van. The battle van, like,
it's gone.
You want to pack? No, don't worry, but just chuck your garbage in there. It'll take it all. But no, the Toyota Vanguard does not have as much storage space as the van. Not even close. So I got to be a little bit careful with how, you know, Colin and Thomas and I pack that thing up. So I'm going to try to get most of my stuff, everything except for guns and that kind of thing, into the trailer. And then, you know, have some more room available for those guys. But 3-gun, like, there's a lot of crap to pack for 3-gun. Clothes, food. Okay, great. You have to do that for every match. A cart. You need mm-hmm. a cart. 3 guns. That's a big case, right? Big case of guns. Gear. Not just your belt, because you need, like, shot shell caddies. You need a chest rig if you want to carry lots of shotgun shells, which there's always a shotgun-only stage there. And other things that thankfully I have a list for. Look at my pretty list sitting on the wall right here.
Why is it all crinkly?
Because I put it over top of the sound deadening stuff and I was like, I don't care. I'm stapling this thing to the wall right in front of my face. So I don't have to look for it.
Press F40 for the sound deadening foam. Jesus Christ. Sad.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Nah. I have it in front of me. I can see it now. I was always like before the show here, I was just reading it. I'm like, oh yeah, my GoPro. I forgot that foot. Oh wait, no, I can't bring that anyways. Okay, never mind.
Oh, what? You can't bring a GoPro for?
Well, you can. You just can't post
no,
it.
It's no fun filming for this one. So
that's sad.
I'm gonna leave it right here because it's one less thing to bring. I like not bringing things. There we go. Don't have to bring that. I think I got everything else on the list. Shotgun chokes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Short sleeve shirt. Gun belt. Yes, I think I have everything.
You're good.
So I'm good. Yep. So that's what I'm going to be up to this weekend. Kelly, what about you?
I did not a lot this weekend. I was actually at home. But I did book some more maple seeds, so they're on the website, so go and take a look at that. What else did I do? Oh, I signed up for an EOSC Ladies' Day, so that's going to be happening on October 5th. I'll put that in the special events. And yeah, I think that's it. I did not get to the range this week, so it was sad. It was sadness in a cup. That's decaf coffee, by the way. What about you, Tony? What did you do this week?
All right, my section is going to run slightly long, I feel like, because I'm going to test out how to share screen here. So first things, I did a volunteer at the Young Guns event at BTSA. Okay. I was being the ammo quartermaster, loading all the magazines. In the morning, wasn't too bad because it's 22 mags, so there's like the 1022s, which is the majority of them. And then there's like the GSG. Someone brought a Kel-Tec CMR-30, which is pretty cool. Shoots 22 mag, so that one gets a separate. But in the afternoon, there's like all different kinds of 9mm pistols and everything. It's like, And so like the line officer would bring me a gun. And I'll have to identify which magazine to take, give it to them. And then every time they return the magazine, I have to load them. There was a guest... I guess the father of the guest brought his 2011 for the volunteers to shoot. It was a Bull Armory SAS-2. Well, so okay. I guess 2011 type. I'm going to try to share that here. And that really led to a kind of a rabbit hole of a lot of things. So he had a silver gun, but similar idea. It's a limited gun. He had irons on it. I don't think he shoots matches a lot, but the gun feels great. It has a polymer grip, polymer trigger guard. Mm-hmm. It's still very nice, and I only shot 5 rounds through. I didn't shoot a lot, but it did very nice double taps on it, which is pretty much a first for me on a handgun. Also, we only have an 8-inch steel plate at about 10-15 yards. I haven't done a lot of double taps with guns. To me, it's just control pair everything just because I'm not experienced enough. And then it got me to look down the hole. If you still remember, some listener may or may not, that I had issues with a Norinco 1911 where if I rest my finger at where I think it's natural, I'm going to start to push out the takedown lever. This thing have it recessed. So if I rest my finger there, it won't be a problem, which is great. And then I started to look at similar guns in that type, which
so
first and foremost is...
Oh. Is the 1911 out now? Now you're going double stack? 2011 style?
No, because I don't want to pay for magazines. That's very dumb. So I'm looking for...
One out there that takes Glock mags.
I know, the Platypus.
Don't recommend it, but yeah.
I would have bought one if I'm in the States. They offer customized serial numbers. I would have put my last name on it. Mm-hmm. I would shot that, but I don't know. So I'm looking at its competitions. So, for example, the Springfield Prodigy, so they call it the 1911 DS. So there isn't a common name for 2011. 2011 is kind of trade name under, used to be STI, now Staccato. They also have a recessed takedown lever. So again, would have fixed my problem. So I started to look more. What do you look at for the highest end 1911? Well, except the custom gun. The highest production gun would have been the TRP from Springfield. And then I found out the guy I really wanted, the operator, they shared the same frame design. So there's only 2 frame designs for Springfield 1911's government length, which will be you have a railed version and you have a non-railed version. And for the railed version, I found out that because the pick rail is wider than how a 1911 original A1 or A0 would have been done, it will have to have a taper or a step up or down from the pick rail back to the gun itself. and Springfield cleverly designed, so if you have a railed gun, you will have a recessed takedown. I did not know this because when I shot my friend's 1911, which is a Garrison, more of a improved traditional style 1911 in Michigan, his did not have the step because he did not have a rail in front. So Springfield pretty much built the perfect gun for me. They have a 9mm 1911 with optics cut and rails and recessed takedown levers. So it's going to be great. But too bad the news is Christmas isn't coming tomorrow. So
no,
maybe I'll wait
for it. Might be a while.
But funny enough, I found that the representation, the prime representation for real 1911, the Colt rail gun, or later the M45A1, they actually did not. Their step up and down for the picker actually ended before the takedown lever. But I guess if my finger is kind of long enough, so it probably would have helped a little bit. So just a thing. And then I thought about, that's why they have a specific holster for 1911s with rails, because the front is actually beefier than a regular 1911. That's why this Blatec holster is specifically for a rail, but they say it will work without a rail, which makes sense too. So that's my whole freaking rabbit hole dive into 1911 with or without rails and takedown levers that may or may not be affected in the future. Also, since I was at the range, I sighted in the Golden Eagle on my 223. So that's the most ridiculous setup you can probably get to. It's great. More magnification equals more better. Now I can see 100 yards perfectly clear, and I can count all the holes and the random stuff you do. You can spot and shoot at the same time. Except this is the flaw of a BTSA range, is the rifle range is facing west. So in the afternoon, when you're going to sight in your gun because you did an event in the morning, you're going to be shooting into the sun, so you can't see anything, which is great. Got some parts from Rusty Woods. And they had everything I asked for in stock, so that should be able to keep my Lowmaster running for a bit. Unfortunately, if you see on Discord, some parts are slightly corroded. They told me it's normal-ish, and I might bring out a steel wool, polish it, and maybe parkerize it since I have the solution for that. And it looks like the flipper, especially, you'll see they have a white head on it instead of a black one. I'm thinking this is an earlier model, so, which I guess is a good and bad thing. That means they have stock sticking around, which means you should be able to find what you need for Lee. So there's their catalog and their website. But it might be slightly older. If you're looking for cosmetic perfection, that may or may not happen. And some thoughts on organizing. I bought a parts case for all my reloading random crap. So this one was from Home Depot. And I have like my, what do you call that? The case.
Most people just use like a fishing tackle kind of case.
Yeah, similar idea, I guess. And then. Yeah. The spare parts for the Lee trimmer, the case feed, the Lee priming kit, the priming levers for my press that I never use, and I have the case remover, stuck case remover. So that's all good.
Why do you need a stuck case remover if you get a Lee? Can't you just like loosen
because
the top
I
and hammer it?
Because I started not with a Lee die because I cheaped out.
Yeah.
I bought a secondhand set of dies, RCBS. They work well enough, but I prefer Lee dies now because they, for rifle cartridges, they separate the seat and the crimping step, and that's how I prefer to do it. Some more organizational stuff. So I have these ammo cans. Oh, We'll show you what the label
30,
says.
30 cal plastic looks like, yeah.
Yep. And they have a tray that nests four of them. So this is how I label them. I used to just try to use a regular label maker. They won't stick because they're too narrow. And the surface is kind of like rough, not smooth. So I
why are you putting it on the top, though? You got to put it on the front because you're going to stack those things. Okay, you've got four now. You're going to start adding ammo, and you're going to stack one on top of it.
Yes.
Or are you going to put it on racks, but right?
No, because no, it's not on a rack. It's just stacked on top of each other. But I always have the most used stuff on the top, so I would know. So then I got the printer paper type labels. Until it rained, then it washed away. So I was like, I've saw these guys before. I didn't know what the search term was, so I was looking like steel label maker. I wasn't right. So
oh, those punch-in ones.
The punch-in ones.
Old school ones, yeah.
I saw them when I took my film photography course in university, and all the chemistry have them on it. So this is, the technical term is the embossing label maker. They still make them, and I saw the little strips are steel, but no, they're plastic. But they will resist weather a lot better.
Yeah.
So I thought
you should put them on the front, though.
Yeah.
I agree. On the top, put it in the front. If you skid them around, you're going to knock it off. You got to put it on the front, and then when you go really buck and you get way too many of them, you can put them on one of these wire racks. Whoop! There we go. You put them on one of these wire racks, like that. And then you see all the little labels on the front there. So that's how I can tell what's in all of those different.
Pretty sure if I get to that level, my parents are going to kill me. Anyway, so I saw it. Okay, I'm going to buy one that's a name brand. Okay, Dymo. That's who. This is actually the company that came up with this. But it is a piece of crap. Here's the unit itself. It wouldn't advance the tape properly. And so you get a lot of like these kind of misprints, sort of.
Tony, right? Are we going down that rabbit hole about talking about Dyno tape and the misprints?
No, I'm just telling the listeners that don't buy this thing because it's like it doesn't print properly. And so I looked up some more information. People said just like buy an old school one that have like the steel handles or whatever. So that's annoying. Lastly, 3D printing stuff, because everyone needs that. I printed myself a shell holder, or shell holder storage, basically. I started my reloading journey as, okay, the Lee box came with a spot for it, but then it turned into there's a lot of cartridges that share the same thing, so I'm just going to get one die set that have the shell holder. I'm going to use the same one a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, I know there's a shell holder for this. Which box is it in? So now I just centralized all my shell holders.
So I have
you want
to
one
ask,
that'll have like you want one that'll hold like 12.
Yeah.
Not six. You want more.
I don't need that right now. So I actually it started as a 12 one. I redesigned it to be six. That file will be available on the Slamfire Discord as well.
Okay, so I have a question. Did you and Adriel buy the filament in bulk because you both have the same color? And by the way, it's Tiffany blue, so it can be used by ladies as well. So
mine's green.
You see the color is actually slightly different.
Tiffany blue.
They stopped the service. This is actually a Canadian filament company that they did a monthly subscription box. So they have this rainbow color thing. The majority of the roll was green, but it started to turn blue, and then I think it will turn purple later. So
okay,
maybe on a show you will see some purple stuff in the future. Mm. All right, I've dragged down the whole rabbit hole too long. Kelly's not happy. Let's go to our next.
Okay, you can still continue on and talk about the benefits of, labeling and.
Well, you got to label your stuff or else you wouldn't know where everything's gone to.
You do have to label it, so.
So it just depends on which kind of label you want to use.
Oh, don't go there. Let's add it on a main topic for another day. Kyle.
Okay, well, I'll continue the topic with...
What kind of labels do you use? Are you a masking tape kind of a guy?
Adriel, I'm going to hang up on you.
I have a Brady label maker, so that's what I use for labels.
For
wire tags, but yeah.
Dustin isn't on the show because I guarantee you.
No one is buying what I would normally use. But
he's going to use gaffer tape because it's such a film industry thing.
Yeah, I know it. Okay. I bought a 3D printer again. So,
again? Does that mean you sold it previously?
I did not bring my 3D printer down with me.
Oh.
Why not? It's literally not enough space.
I had a 10-foot trailer to haul my entire life and family down with.
That sounds like
things had to go. My old gun room was a basement, and then I had a 2-car garage full. Stuff had to go.
Yeah, he sold everything.
Fair.
So did you buy filament for it? Did you talk to Adriel and Tony? And did you
I did not talk to them.
they have a magical place called Micro Center. You can get decent filament there.
I bought the bamboo P1S.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it just came ready so that I could print basically anything except for carbon. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so I did buy some filament, but I'll get into that in a little bit because I started designing my tuning setup for the PCC. That was kind of mainly why I bought the 3D printer so quick, is because I got to tune this up and trying to think of how I'm going to do it. So I started designing a tuning kit. So made up a bunch of stuff. This piece for basically adding tension to your recoil spring. So you can just stack those guys up and put more tension on your recoil spring.
Kind of preload?
Yeah. Yeah, and then these fit just in there and go inside your buffer spring for your buffer to actually contact to short stroke it. I printed too many. And so these will be good. You'll be able to use these if you have an A5 buffer tube. But with the carbine, I printed like a thin one there. And then this is just the end piece where the buffer will actually contact. So for prototyping, I did it just out of PLA. They sent a sample roll of PLA, so it's cool. And it fits perfectly. I'm actually very happy. And I really hope when I go to the actual filament I'm going to use for it, that it still fits perfectly.
PETG, I'm guessing?
It will.
No, I'm going to go with it's not AB, ASA for the bulk of it. And then for the piece that the buffer is coming up on, I'm going to try TPU.
Oh, you fancy pants.
Because that'll help soften the blow, because it's a flexible filament, soften the blow of the buffer. So you got to game everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, it fits in the buffer tube, like, perfect. Slide that down.
You'll have to glue those pieces together, though, otherwise they'll come loose.
Yeah, that's the idea, is to glue those together once you figure out what you want for your length.
Yeah. Cool. That's cool. I like how you built that in a modular way so you can test it and it's easy to test. And then even when you're done testing, if one of those gets worn out, you just replace it with one of the
tests. But now look where that bolt ends up.
Yeah, just look at the charging handle. It's not hot.
Yeah, like that is short stroked. And I test it. It resets the trigger. I got to get it to the range, but like this should be fast because there's like no travel there. So
nice.
So yeah, now I gotta try with the ASA and then and the TPU. I'm getting a little concerned because I have heard about ASA shrinking on the print, and like the PLA just printed true to form. I'm actually very, very happy with the printer. He did an amazing job. So
cool.
And part of it might be I'm played around with step files too, which I heard was better for more
for rounded parts and more definition. But yeah, so playing around with that. Adriel, I'm going to need that file for your stripper clip loader. Because I have a bunch of those metal stripper clips. And I'll probably play around with Magwell. And yeah, I'm going to be printing up a ton of stuff, both guns and otherwise, because yeah, I'm very impressed with the printer. And
The file's on our Discord, the Slamfire Discord. I should post all the gun stuff that I've printed on there. Links to it all.
Can we make like a folder on there, or like,
let's,
because I could put this up on there as well.
Mm-hmm. Got a channel for that.
All the different parts, yeah. But
one of you Discord guys who knows stuff can make a channel for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make a channel, but I was thinking like a folder for like, you know, like I'm going to have like four or five different files for this.
Tuning setup. Just upload it to Thingiverse and put it in one thing and then just have all.
Yeah. Share the link. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all I did for gun stuff was just 3D print stuff. And at some point I'm going to dig out some old files that I'm glad I got out of Canada before when I did, because you're not allowed to have them, but I can down here. So I might play around with that.
There's a lot of things that you can get down there that we can't play with up here. Yeah.
Well, they wanted to make the information illegal to have, like you can even have the file on your computer.
I wanted a reprint of P.A. Ludi's book, Expedient Homemade Firearms. I think they're out of print for like a long time at this point. I want a physical copy, not to like, just here is my book. Are you going to burn my book now?
Probably.
Okay. Let's talk about upcoming events. Adriel, why don't you tell us about upcoming 3-game matches? Is there any that are left for 2024?
Of course, because unlike all those other things, we do this like way late to the year. This weekend we've got the Mighty Peace 3-gun team match. There might still be spots available, so if you wanted to come out to that, that's on the 28th, 29th. October 5th, Chaz 3-gun. 19th, Sherwood Park 3-gun. November 2nd, Sherwood Park. November 9th, Chaz. 2 a month, basically. Cool. If you're in the Edmonton area, right up to, from like as soon as the snow melts until like November, there's probably going to be snow on the ground.
That is correct. I'll read out the Maple Seed stuff. So Edmonton Chaz, it's still not sold out. It's this weekend. You got September 28th, CFP Borden as well on this Saturday. It is sold out for the 28th, but the 29th, the known distance, there's still spaces available. You can register, but prerequisite is you have to be a rifleman. So come out to that. Go and click on it. Go to our website. Cape Nova Revolver Club, which is happening October 5th. That's in Nova Scotia and Cape Breton. You can register for that. It's rimfire only. And then also on October 5th, we got still shooting ranges here in sunny and beautiful Ottawa, Ontario. You can register there. There's another event happening October 6th at Stittsville Ranges. And oh, look, more Ontario events that are happening. So they are coming soon. No registration available on the website. We will be uploading that in the near future. The clubs just have them right now. But November 16th is at the Georgian Bay Handgun Association in Midland. And then on November 17th, Huron in Penetanguishene. So those will come out onto the website soon if we can't sell them out within the club. And what do we got? Else do we have? So BTSA, Tony.
Yep. So I have a comment on the Maple Seeds.
No, I read it.
Why is the KD not on practice score?
Okay. Why would it be on practice score if we don't use practice score?
Because we're trying to introduce everyone into the practical or maybe long range shooting scene, competition shooting scene. They should know about practice score. I understand why we don't do it for the general entrances, because that's more public facing, and we want the publicity.
There's events. You can do events on practice score. We should look at it to see if it's ready yet. Because Eventbrite's not great for what we're doing.
No, I know that. But practice score wasn't even halfway decent when we started rolling this out. So
yeah. Anyways. It might be there now.
Okay, Tony, tell us about BTSA.
Okay, so I lied last week because I said it was going to be the last weekend match, but we, for some reason, added another one, October 20th, last, maybe not, weekend steel challenge match at the BTSA. So hopefully we don't see too much snow on the ground. Maybe we will, but come on, have fun. I think HGG Fire Trainings. Adriel?
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be easy now because there's a website for it. And all you got to do is just be like, hey, there's some dates up there. October 6th, that's a Sunday. We'll do the non-restricted. The 7th, that's going to be a Monday. We're going to do that in the evening. Those will both be in Leduc. October 12th at Sherwood Park is a PAL. We'll do a PAL-RPAL combo November 16th and 17th in Devon. November 23rd and 24th at Sherwood Park, same idea. December 7th and 8th, we'll be doing it in Leduc. And then December 15th at Sherwood Park, we'll be doing a restricted course.
Cool. Ah. So the only thing that I don't have on there currently right now, but it just got released, was October 5th. We're going to be doing a ladies shoot at EOSC. It's part of, it's being sponsored by the CCFR. If you go to my social media, I have it posted there. I'll post it on the page, our social media pages as well. But if you know any ladies, tell them to sign up. It's from 1 to 5 on October 5th, and they can come out, they can get some swag, and they can shoot all kinds of different guns. So it's an introductory program to shooting, obviously. So in the Ottawa area, if you know anybody, tell them to come out. All right, let's get into the news. The RCMP lost more firearms than collected in the buyback program. By the way, the buyback program is an oxymoron. There is no buyback program. Go ahead. Who included this one?
I think it was me, but
it was like Tony.
Yeah,
they, it was like a Tony article.
They lost about 205 firearms since 2020, including three submachine guns and one machine gun, which seems crazy because what would you classify as a submachine gun? Like
an MP5.
Somehow you lost the MP5.
Yes, that would be that. Yeah, that's correct.
I think that's what they're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Well, my logic is if you're holding an MP5, you're in the top 1% of gunfighters in the police force, and somehow you lost.
Those guys got to go
three,
and they forgot in the bathroom.
Correct.
It's probably on the coat hanger in front of you. They put it up there, and then
you should go and talk to Dustin. It's probably in his safe at Tim Hortons.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if he ever saw any machine guns, but
no. Yeah, I added on the last show. Dustin mentioned that he used to work at a donut shop that was open late at night, and they tons of cops
regularly left their guns.
Yeah,
it
happens. It happens in the U.S. for a concealed carry and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, I added the whole more than the buyback part because. So far, it's zero. And I think someone came out saying
it's not zero. The
business part of that, the retailer part, is going to start pretty soon.
Well, they threatened that it would start. Yeah. They threatened that it would start.
They still don't have anybody.
Or something. Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I guess it's gesturing and whatever. I think that's about it from the news-wise. Not too much news going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nope. That's about it. Not much. Okay, let's get into new gun stuff. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. With a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter, they have free shipping on orders over $250, which includes ammunition, by the way. There are some conditions that apply, such as oversized or remote access areas. We've changed the wording on this. That's awesome.
That was me. Sorry, it's terrible.
Tony, stop that. They have $17 flat rate shipping on orders $250 below $250. So you can just pay $17 and get it shipped to you. It's a flat rate. Subscribe to the weekly newsletter and get first access to the hottest deals. So I am one of those persons that subscribe to it. There's awesome deals in there. So Adriel, let's talk about all these. What's new in guns this week?
This is Rigo 308. They're scout rifle. You guys ever shot one of these things?
Mm-hmm.
They're all right.
Yeah, they're okay.
They're nice. If with the extended eye relief scope on there, it's kind of neat. But and they take M14 mags, which is kind of nice.
I don't believe so. I think these are AICS. I might be wrong.
Are they?
Kind of looks like so. It. If it's M14 mags, like that means five rounds, right? Was there ever an M14 pistol in the country?
Magazine. I don't know. It doesn't say what kind.
It says 10, I'm assuming.
If it says 10, then it must be an AICS. Yeah. So we'll go with that.
Cool. Anyways, go check that out on Bullseye's website.
And they also have some P-Mags. P-Mags. I think all the P-Mags are on sale this week. And this is the best price you can get for 27-round P-Mags.
That's the long one.
Yep, if you want it for your PCC, that's a mag I ran.
That's nice.
Cool.
The
21 Sharp. You guys must have seen this, right?
Yep. My question is, okay, it's a good idea, I think. It uses the same case as the 22LR, but mm-hmm. it will use a different bullet because it's no longer healed, so it's actually smaller. The whole thing fits in the case like a regular nowadays bullet would, but how many people are actually going to make it? Is it going to surpass 22LR?
No, can't. No.
Well, maybe. No, in the video, they mentioned some places just won't allow lead bullets anymore. So I think there's an argument to be made.
They did it for a couple reasons. One is that they can use a jacketed bullet, a pointy jacketed bullet. With a 22LR, you have to assume that your ammo is going to be used in tube guns. So you can't use pointy bullets on those. And then the other one was, the sintered metal bullets, the bullets that are lead free, right? None of these are cheap. This is all expensive for a cartridge. It's okay that it's expensive, but it's expensive. The first ones they're going to release, a Game and Target 25 grain copper matrix with a lead free bullet.
It's like a plastic bullet or something.
What's that?
It's like a plastic. It's like the P320 tungsten infused polymer grip, I think. That's what I'm understanding anyway.
Well, no, this will be sintered metal. It'll just be a bunch of metal that they just like compress, and then when it hits, it just vaporizes, right? It just spreads everywhere. Game and Target 37 grain black copper plated bullet. I wonder how copper plated it will be if it's like a real copper plate, or if it must be a real copper plate. They have a 42 grain FMJ. And they have a 34 grain jacketed hollow point with lead inside. What, for killing stuff? Neat. I don't know why you'd use FMJ in a 22LR. I can't think of a possible reason for it. Maybe if they make it in some guns where like the feeder amp can be a little bit more abusive, because 22 like cannot take it. Any kind of side load on a 22LR, and it just bends that bullet right off. Rebater rim's not very strong. But I don't know, I guess if you want to shoot 22LR long range, these should have better ballistic coefficients because you can make them pointier.
Yeah, I would think they're better for long range. They're going fast, that's for sure.
Yeah, 1500 FPS. That's pretty quick.
And it's probably going to come out in Kelly's favorite gun, the Winchester Wildcat, because they're first party. So
it looks like a bolt action, though.
Yeah, that's a Wildcat, too. They already have a bolt action Wildcat, too.
Wildcat,
I think they mentioned Savage in the whole video. So I'm guessing some other manufacturer might be supporting it, too. So it'll be interesting to see.
21 Sharp. You know, trying to teach students like what the different cartridges and calibers mean and that kind of thing is so bad, because like, what is 21 Sharp? What caliber is this? 21 caliber or 22 caliber? It's probably 22 caliber. Yeah, 21 Sharp. What's a Sharp mean? It was made by Sharp? No, it was made by Winchester. It's like they just hate their users. They just like figure it out. Yeah. Okay, there's that one. Competing PSA shotgun. I think, Tony, you added this one, right?
Yeah, I didn't. For some reason, it didn't catch my eye doing shot, but they have this modular shotgun idea, which is kind of interesting. PSA have it. So I guess it's like a 590 and an A70, so it's like called a 570. Yeah, it will come as a builder kit. At least that's the plan, which will be interesting. So, I don't know. 32-inch barrel, 32-inch tube. Something dumb. Yeah. It'll be interesting. And I think...
Oh, they're using the Mossberg hidden load ramp?
I forgot. Yeah, Leader I thought ramp, so, I maybe. The lifter. And I forgot if it take A70 or 590 furniture. I think A70 furniture. So you can throw like on your... You
just see it there. Yeah.
You can throw on your Magpul furniture, which would be good.
Neat.
Yeah, it looks like...
See how,
yeah.
See got the it is.
Mossberg safety on the back of it there.
Yeah, I have
I prefer the Tang safety.
Tang safety, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cross bolt.
I'm so used to it right at the trigger guard there. I like that.
Yeah. Neat. The Revell, or if you would, lever backwards, but it's not a backwards lever. Such a missed opportunity.
Savage. You want it to go like this way when you're oh, what?
If you're gonna get clever and call it the Revell, which is backwards for lever, yeah, I think the lever should go some other way. But no, it goes
backwards.
Backwards.
Yeah. That's really it.
Back then forward, not forward then back. I don't know.
Ooh, that'd be a great idea.
It's an inexpensive lever 22 that Savage is making.
Yeah.
I thought they were making it built in Turkey.
Canada.
Yeah. So another listener sent this to me and I'm like, Turkish walnut? This is a Turkish gun for sure. Like Savage has been making a couple of guns in Turkey and that kind of thing. No, this one's made in Lakefield, which makes it more interesting, especially for the price. What was it, like $400 for the cheap one? There's the fancy one.
That will be in US dollars though.
Yeah, but that's like MSRP. Maybe it'll get down. $419 for the classic model. $519 for the DLX.
The takedown is very interesting. I think this will be kind of a big advancement. It will be much easier to clean. I haven't even taken apart my 22 lever yet, so it's a little daunting.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, the takedown would be good for, you know, taking it places. I don't think I'd take, like, the takedown's not super quick, so I don't think I would do it unless I really, really needed to. But I guess it's neat that it's possible.
Yeah.
Is this, with this two-pin design, is this an AR-15 variant? I think we're at risk.
It's like it's an assault-style machine gun.
Assault-style machine gun.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord.
But it's cool.
Look at like all the cowboys. For, so fast.
I think the only other player at that price point is the Henry H001, right?
Yep. Or the Rossi, made in Brazil.
But yeah.
Or the...
The Rossi's got some Turkey stuff on it. If you ever looked at it, you'd be like, That's the front sight is just a travesty, an absolute travesty. Way too much going on, way too crappy. Yeah. Anyways, this looks simple. Looks basic. I like look at the front sight. It looks like an old timey, you know, notch and blade style sight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very standard. And the fancier one's got a hooded front sight and a bunch of crap on the back that looks stupid. But, you know, it's fancier, I guess.
I don't know.
Is that like the really stock lightning?
Savage
slots.
Premium stocks are weird.
That's weird. But this one up here is pretty timeless. I like it.
I want a standard size lever, though.
Oh, I like the big hoop.
Keep smacking my hand. I kind of hate it.
Campro 50 cal muzzleloader bullets.
This isn't mentioned on their official website yet, but somehow Campro has released their first batch of Sabot 50 cal muzzleloading plated bullets, and they're under $1 around, so pretty good value, I think, if you want to go out shoot bullets, not balls.
These can't be plated. These can't be plated. No, these can't be.
No, fully copper plated, right?
No. Really? No, not something like this. This has got to be a full metal jacket. Blah, blah, blah. Where do you see the plated bit on there? FCP. Right? What's that?
Fully copper plated.
Fully copper plated. Is that what that stands for?
That's how Campro usually advertise their stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Hollow point. I mean, you could hunt with this.
Yeah.
You just ram this down your muzzle loader and hunt with that. Yep. Neat. I might have to buy a pack next time I'm buying something from Tenda, and I don't know, and pretend I'm going to shoot a deer with it, but not. Cool. This one's from me. So Cabela's has today only, they've got two combos you got to take advantage of if you need some 223. They have their herders ammo on for 119. This is around 80 cents a round. 119 for 150 rounds. But they also have, if you order online and do local pickup, 10% off. So you can get this down with tax to be around 75 cents with tax. And you don't have to buy 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever to get that kind of price, which is kind of what you've been seeing.
I believe herders are still made by Winchester, so still good ammo.
Probably, yeah. Which Winchester doesn't make any ammo. It's Olin or whoever, whatever giant conglomerate behind the scenes, like turning Lake stuff City. Out. Lake City, Olin, who knows? But it's made by someone.
If you're buying this, don't forget to go to slamfireradio.com and go to our Cabela's link to support the show.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, because you might as well, because to get that deal, you have to buy online and then do a local pickup. So, yeah, head on to the side there, the Bass Pro Shops. That's the link to go to, and then go through there. And, yeah, use code PICKUP for today only, and you get 10% off. So this is like that couponing show where they like buy a whole bunch of groceries. It costs like nothing. Yeah, that's what we're doing right here.
Yeah, it's couponing.
Yeah, or I got the free shipping. I don't know. But yeah, that's a decent deal. I know, I think, was it G4C? One of the other places had 223 on for a little bit less than that, but you had to get quite a bit more. Where was it?
I don't think G4C ever free ships ammo, so.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about the shipping on it, though. Yeah, I don't see it. It wasn't Wolverine. Anywho, we can move on. Don't need to wait for me to find this other sale.
I'm just waiting for you to find the other sale. All right.
We don't need to.
Okay, thanks. We'll move on to the main topic. So welcome to tonight's show, Delinda Ryerson. Delinda is the CEO, correct? CEO?
Correct.
Correct.
The CEO, executive director? Sure.
Yeah. At Sherwood Fish and Game in Sherwood Park, Alberta. Sherwood Park Fish and Game. I left out the
Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association.
Correct.
We're actually not located in Sherwood Park. We're actually located in Beaver County.
You're 45 minutes from my hotel in Sherwood Park. It was a lovely drive. It was 45. It was actually 42 minutes, but 45 when you get lost when Kelly and I are talking. So thanks for coming on the show tonight as well. If people didn't know or they didn't listen to last week's show, I, as well as Adriel and a couple other people, we were at Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association, and we had a couple of maple seeds and a lady seed, and we thought it'd be a great idea to get you to come on, because not only is Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association an incredible range, it has a camping, there's an RV park on it as well. That was how I got lost. I went to the RV park as opposed to the range. It's a really amazing club, and it's been around for a long, long time. But you have just recently joined it, correct?
That's correct.
On the executive piece. Do you want to talk? Well, before we get there, why don't we talk about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself, because you're an amazing lady. The more time I spent with you, the more I'm going, I really like this lady. Why don't you tell us about your background?
Okay. That's fantastic. I'm formerly a biologist. I was a field biologist and professional biologist for almost 30 years, so aging myself a little bit here. And I worked for all kinds of different organizations, from Alberta Fish and Wildlife to Parks Canada. I was the second woman chief park warden or resource conservation officer for Parks Canada at Elk Island National Park. And then I worked for the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute, and I started working for nonprofits after that, because I really saw a benefit of helping them manage what they do. So I started working for the Alberta chapter of the Wildlife Society, the Alberta Invasive Species Council, and I did a short time at the Alberta Fish and Game Association, and then I joined the best organization of all, the Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association. So that's where I am since mid-May of 2022, and loving it. It is an incredible organization, and we have 720 acres of land that's habitat land. We've got hiking trails, biathlon trails. We've got ranges, a campground, a clubhouse, fish pond, you name it, we've got it. There's something going there.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Sherwood Park and how it has evolved, even over the short period of time since you've been there. I've seen some changes specifically with the board, some of the things that you're doing. And as I said, it's an incredible range. There is so much there for anybody who's outdoors. Not only that, you have moose that come and visit and they feel very comfortable. Was his name Maurice? Maurice the moose?
Saw him Charlie, I thought. I don't know. Okay. All
right. So there has been some recent changes.
Yes.
For example, definitely. They hired you, the best person in the world. But also, I think our listeners are aware of some of the challenges that Sherwood Park was facing, maybe even about 5, maybe 6, 7 years ago, about some of the challenges with bringing in some of the like holsters. Holsters was not something that was supported with the club. So do you want to tell us about some of the recent changes over the past couple of years?
Absolutely. So the organization itself is around 55, 56 years old. I can't remember exactly, but it has been dramatically changed, though. There were the executive previously had different ideas and to some extent a little bit outdated ideas about things. So in roughly 2018, things started to change and we had other folks like Chris Russell, who's now our president, with newer, kind of more contemporary ideas of what he wanted to see. He likes to say that he'd like to see Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association, or we call it the Ketchumook Creek Recreation Property, which is, he'd like to see it as a conservation organization that just happens to have a bunch of ranges. So we did change things. We wrote our first ever strategic plan last 2023. And there we, you know, really thought about what we wanted to do and represent as an organization. So we've changed it dramatically. We introduced an outdoor women's program where we have a whole bunch of different sessions for ladies to learn about bushcraft and camping and fishing and archery and lady seed and all those kinds of things. So, and then in 2024, we mirrored that program and started what we call the Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association Outdoor Youth Program. So same kinds of things, bushcraft, camping, fishing, all that kind of stuff. Additionally, once a biologist, you never totally leave that. So we wanted to educate our members and members of the public about natural history. So it's effectively a bunch of biologist friends of mine come in once a month and talk about critters that they happen to be experts in. So we call that the naturalist series. So again, biologists come in, talk about peregrine falcons. We've had owl talks, amphibian reptiles, bats. We had two different bat walks. We had like a smoky roast and went out with our bat detectors and found bats. So a lot going on there. And it has changed dramatically in the last couple of years since I've joined them. Yeah.
You muted, Kelly. Sorry.
Yeah, I got it. My dog started barking. I muted myself. So you've changed the dynamics with that at the club specifically. So you're talking about youth and women. So you started the women's project last year. How successful was that and how has it grown this year? What's the difference between the two?
Yeah, it was wildly much more successful this year. So we did, thanks to a grant, it's called a conservation and community grant from our wonderful partners, the Alberta Conservation Association.
So we got a grant from them, and we ran, I think it was about 6 sessions last year, and it was very effective, and didn't quite sell out every session, but it was something that people were really happy about, and the ladies learned a lot and got a lot of good feedback. So we offered it this year, and we offered more sessions, and every session, I think, this year that we've had so far has sold out.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting. It's really catching on. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm hoping that the youth program, because it's not quite selling out this year, that maybe next year we'll see the same kind of trend.
Yeah. Through the word of mouth that the people will come out to it or enroll their kids as well. Yeah. What's the age group that you have for youth shooters or youth participants? Sorry.
So the youth program is 12-17 year olds. And another thing I want to note is that it's not just open to Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association members. Any of these programs that we've started, they are open to the public as well. So
okay.
Yes, they're advertised to Sherwood Park Fish and Game members, but they're listed on Eventbrite. So
okay.
Yeah, the public can join as well.
So if people are interested, how do they reach out to the club itself or how do they find this information?
Yeah, we are going to be putting a lot more stuff on our website in 2025, but you can certainly look at our website, which is spfga.ca, and yeah, become a member. We are based on a calendar year, so we are not selling memberships after the end of this week, actually. September 30th, we shut our memberships down for the year, but starting January 1st, we're selling memberships, and you can get involved that way. You can also follow us on an Eventbrite, where if you don't want to become a member, then you can find out about the programs that way as well.
Okay. And when we talk about membership, I'm from Ontario, where you get onto a wait list, and the wait list is active for about a year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years before you're even eligible for to become a member at the range. Do you accept memberships? Just people, all they have to do is come in, speak with you or email you, and they're eligible to actually be a member, or is there a wait list?
So there used to be wait lists.
Okay.
There was a cap on the organization for quite a long time. And what we did was we looked at the usage. So we analyzed the data of our electric gate and saw how many people were coming in and how many people were using the ranges and things like that. And we realized that the vast majority of folks, even though we have like close to 4,000 people, the usage was allowed us to remove that cap. So we did remove the cap for several years, and we've actually returned to it, but we didn't reach capacity this year.
Okay.
So there's no phoning or emailing, because like 4,000 people, I would never have time to start all these cool programs. The only way that you can join Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association is going on our website and going through the steps on the website. And then we have an orientation that's very comprehensive, because we want to make sure that everybody's safe and they understand and are fully trained in handling their firearms if they have a firearms membership. And then there's other memberships that you don't necessarily you could use the campground or hiking trails and stuff like that. You just don't use the range. So there's a couple different options there.
Okay, perfect. Remember when we said we don't usually stop? I think that we should right now, because I think that your audio is switched. So I think you might have switched. So let's take a moment and see if
I
we can
actually. Yeah, it's on a laptop or something. Okay.
Yeah.
It's because my ear pod fell out, but I didn't want to bend over and get it.
Welcome to Slamfire. This is perfect. It's exactly us. Okay, let's roll again.
I did drop an F-bomb though, so. Okay, is that better?
Not yet.
You do
not
that yet. Occasionally as well. That's perfect, because your mic was literally on the floor.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
But I had this one in, so I don't know much about it. I thought it was going to be okay, but obviously not.
You sound perfect.
Okay.
So do you want to talk about some of the different disciplines and dynamic shooting that you have at the club right now? And
sure.
Because if people are interested in joining, let's talk about what's available to do there from a shooting perspective.
Okay. That sounds great. Yeah. OK,
Hey, so you want to ask me that, or am I just...
Yeah, just let me know. Okay. Let me know. Yeah. What types of... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have tons of different leagues, what we call them. Yeah. We've got Bullseye Pistol, Rimfire Silhouettes, Cowboy Action. We've got what we call Thursday Night Fun Shoots, but it's effectively multi-gun or three-gun.
Right.
And as well as Trap League. And those are offered once a week and run by our volunteers. Like, we have amazing volunteers out there. We've also got biathlon training under Coach Lowell Niven. And like, I'm hearing that some of these folks are just amazing. We also generally, thanks to Adriel and Tom, have about four Project Maple Seeds. So some in the spring, two in the spring, two in the fall. And you helped, you and Kelly helped out with the September 14th and 15th ones. Lady Seed, we considered part of our Outdoor Women's Program. So that's fantastic, but that's nothing unusual. And then this year also, Adriel was really busy in our clubhouse delivering PAL courses, or the Canadian Firearm Safety Program courses, once a month, right? Close to that anyway. We had a black badge course, which is not unusual. We usually have at least one a year. But what's really exciting is we had our multi-gun or three-gun folks. So shout out to like Mark Lowry and Jen and Justin Hodges, Brian Matchell. They organized a two-day multi-gun weekend. So that was really exciting. And I guess it went really well. And we've never done that before. And then we had our first ever IPSC level two qualifying matches on August 17th and 18th. So that went so well that everybody's asking, you know, when we're going to do that next year. So lots of different firearms related things going on. We would really like to get an archery league started. So for those folks that are interested in archery, welcome that. Yeah.
So you're looking for somebody to help out with that, volunteer to lead that. It sounds like a lot of your work is done by volunteers, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. We couldn't have any of these leagues and things like that. And a lot of these weekend, and ORPS is another one I forgot that we have several of those. So all run by volunteers.
Yeah. So, and then you also have RSOs as well that are dedicated RSOs. We've seen one of our listeners, Nate, he reached out to us and said, I would love to come over and meet you guys. I've heard all about you, Kelly, and I'm Adriel spoke about him as well. He's his next door neighbor, but he came over and he gave us a big hug, and we took pictures and totally ignored what was going on the shooting field because there was enough people to watch. But we spent some time with Nate. But you have some really great volunteers there. I just have to say the RSOs are super safe. But without them, you wouldn't have been able to do everything that you're doing as well. It's kind of amazing when I think about it. 4,000 people are part of your club. We're here in Ontario, we're capping at 150, 200 people, which is kind of crazy when that's why our wait lists are so long, right? A year and a half, 2 years, 4 years is also what I've heard too. Tell us about the exposure in the local community as well. The community in Alberta, I do know, is different than other communities across the country. I say that because when I was on my 45-minute drive out to Sherwood Park, I was looking at those open spaces and I'm going, this is a perfect place to go and shoot, take long-range shooting. Here in Ontario, we can't. Like, our ranges are where we shoot long-range, and that's usually out to 400 at max. But sometimes it's talking about community. I'm stuck.
You're getting stuck there, Kelly. Yeah, now you're unstuck.
I thought it was just my connection.
No, it's the internet connection to Ontario. Cool. It just gets stuck sometimes at the border.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
We can hear you, Kelly. You're just breaking up a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now she's stuck.
So again. Tell us about your relationship with the community. Nah, Jesus.
There we go. No, you're okay. Good. Relationship that, the community.
We
got
heard
it.
The community
Let's go.
Part. That's good. That's good.
Keep speaking, Delinda.
Well, we have a great relationship with our local community. We've got a radius that we consider folks local, and you know, they just have to reach out to me, and we actually provide them with a free membership if they're within our grid of being considered neighbors. We always follow, you know, our shooting times and stuff, so we don't really have any issues with neighbors per se. Our naturalist program is actually funded by a grant from Beaver County, so they're helping us deliver that kind of environmental awareness. We're also in the larger, it's called the Beaver Hills Biosphere Reserve. So Ketchumoot Creek Recreation Property falls within there. So we're within a dark sky preserve and this biodiversity area. So that's kind of cool too, that we can get involved in some of these kind of biology related things. Yeah.
So again, I apologize if I start to buffer or anything. So I'll try and keep up. So again, the communities themselves are very supportive. You don't tend to see pushback. I think that it's fantastic that you are taking people who are within a certain radius and giving them an opportunity to have free memberships. Again, it's not just a shooting range. You also have so much more that's available. Mm-hmm. As well, do you want to talk a little bit about the fishing aspect of things? Again, it's beautiful area. Maurice the Moose was very happy when I saw him when he was in the when he was eating in the swamp. So tell us a little bit of the fishing aspect of things.
Well, like many other fishing game clubs, we have a fish pond, so it's with stocked trout, and okay. We actually even offered a course we called Fishing 101. I was a fisheries biologist for, oh my goodness, close to 12, 13 years. So I gave them a little fisheries management 101 lecture and fish ID, and we went down to the fish pond and tried to catch some trout. But I don't know, they've got really smart stock trout nowadays because weren't very successful, but we have caught some out of there. So it's just something that we offer our members, and just like the camping and hiking trails. And oh, I forgot to mention, we have a black powder trail too, that a lot of other, you know, ranges can't offer.
No, they don't. So what made you decide to offer the black powder and also the camping too? Again, gorge. So it's lovely. It was a nice drive at, 7 a.m. So, what made you decide to offer that to your members specifically? Because your members can go and camp for free as part of their membership, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're open 365 days a year for all of these things as well. So, that was before my time. With some pretty smart folks that decided to set this organization up. I think originally it was located not very far from Sherwood Park. But years ago, the whole encroachment thing with Sherwood Park getting too close, that happened years ago already. Right. So now they moved to Beaver County, which is, it's roughly half an hour, 40 minutes from Sherwood Park, and, expanded. And so that we can offer so many other things. So it's a great option for folks that maybe one member of the family likes to shoot, but others don't. Maybe they have other interests. So there's lots of things to do out there.
Do you see a lot of people coming and camping there? So it is open to people who can't, who are just coming to the range as well, or in the area. They can camp there, but for a fee. That's my understanding, correct?
You have to be a member to camp there.
Members.
You have to be a member to enter that property. Yes. It's only to participate in those programs like the Outdoor Women's Program and the youth program and the naturalist thing, which is like, half a day or several hours. Okay. Other than that, and Adriel's courses, of course, like we let non-members in for those opportunities, just, and then they tend to look around and be like, oh, well, this is amazing. I think I need to get a membership. So
they get the idea, yeah. Like that's what you should do, is get a membership to a range. And I think I agree. They like everyone should have a membership, especially a range. So like you mentioned there's the shooting ranges there, you know, out to 300 meters and that kind of thing. The fish pond, yeah. You mentioned the camping is in there, the archery, yep. range. There's a 3D archery walk. There's a black, yep. I just recently did the 3D walk with my son and my nephew, and they took their little bows and we went and down the trail, and there's what, like 20, there's a bunch of stands. There's a whole bunch of animals in there where you like walk, yep. down this path and then you turn, there's an animal, you got to shoot it and then come back and go get your arrows and then go do another one. It's really nice.
Yes, it's amazing. I think there's like 23 different sites, and we're hoping to expand the 3D archery target trail soon. Yeah.
Yeah, really neat.
The club itself is one that I think a lot of people can look at and model their own clubs for success. We see some clubs that are shutting down because they're just not, they're not keeping up with membership, or their members are going to other clubs because there's more dynamic things that are happening. Mm-hmm. What do you got on the books for next year? What are you already looking at?
So I forgot to tell you about our introduction level one. So we got a grant from the Minister's Special License, which is effectively the government of Alberta, and it's administered through the Alberta Professional Outfitters Society. So we were successful in getting a grant for that, and we're teaching, this is going to be in October, we're going to be teaching 30 participants all aspects of hunting. So archery as well, bow hunting as well as firearms. And we've got all kinds of hunting gear and all kinds of things to teach them. So we're going to be offering another one of those courses next year, as well as all of the Outdoor Youth, Outdoor Woman, and Naturalist series. So there's something going on between, you know, Adriel and all of our programs. We've got the clubhouse booked almost every weekend of this year and next year, too. So we're going to be doing that. I'm going to try some different things because we're in that dark sky preserve. A lot, yeah. of people don't really realize, like, there's amazing sights of like the Aurora Borealis out there just behind the clubhouse. So having, you know, folks walking around with, you know, red flashlights and checking out the night sky and different things like that. Yeah.
That's...
Yeah. I want to check out the bat one next year.
Yes.
It was on a weekend. I was busy. I'm like, I would love to like get my kids out for that one.
Yeah, it's really fun. Those bat detectors go off and it starts, you know, and you look up and there's all kinds of bats flying over. So it's pretty neat stuff. We also got materials to make northern saw-whet owl nest boxes. And so these little owls are like this big, right? We made a whole bunch. So our participants of the owl session actually made these owl boxes, and now we're going to go check and see if we had any successfully, you know, nesting in there. We've got tree swallow boxes out there. But yeah, with respect to the firearm stuff, business as usual. All of our volunteers are lined up and excited about next spring. We're going to have all those leagues again, and hopefully another multi-gun weekend match as well as a IPSC match maybe.
Fantastic. And I'm hoping that we come out again because we had such a great time, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. The level of engagement with the women that did shoot was amazing. And also, I just have to say that the weather was perfect, unlike here where it usually rains and I usually have a hurricane or a tornado. But it was perfect weather.
I thought you dropped that.
You usually do. It rained on the Saturday, which I was okay with because it rained just at the end of the day. But on the Sunday, it was perfect weather. It was 19 degrees and it was partially cloudy, partially sunny, and nobody was swimming in, you know, plus 5 pools of water. Right. So love to come out next year. Love to continue to engage with the program. Thank you so much for everything that you do for not just your members, but for also those supporting those organizations like Project Maple Seed. I know that you're one of the first clubs we ever actually went to when we incorporated in 2017. We've always felt welcome there. So thank you so much for that. Adriel, do you got anything else?
I do hope you come out next year because I missed that weekend. So I promise I'll be there next year.
Oh, I promise. Yeah. Yes. She has to be on the line. So we have to set the time and then she will schedule around Delinda. The other thing that we want to do is we want to re-engage some of those ladies. Well, all of them actually that came out that day, they all want to come back. They all want to earn that patch. Yeah. They were super safe. Some of the safest shooters that I've seen, but they were also so engaged too. And we captured some really great smiles and shooting when they were shooting. And they were just, it was a joy to be on the range that day. It truly was.
Nice. So, and I checked out your Facebook post and it was like, 65 different pictures? I started off like liking them. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know. My thumb's getting sore. But they're incredible pictures. Thank you so much for doing that. It's awesome.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
I think, Tony, you've got a question there. Why don't you ask it?
I have the question of how do you promote? Because, shooting ranges stuff, it's a little controversial in the public opinion. Yeah. How do you promote your organization, like, outside to an outsider, for example, or to someone who is new to shooting, someone is new to hunting? How do you reach out?
So, you know what? I think we do have room for improvement here. It's been so popular. There are so many people in that kind of greater Edmonton area and Sherwood Park kind of corridor that I don't think we've really had to, and Adriel jump in because you've been a member for many years, but I don't think we really promote the organization that well. And we still have lots of people, but we are certainly starting to promote some of our other programs now to make them more popular because we don't, quite frankly, it's so popular with respect to our firearms ranges. Cause if you see them, Tony, they're awesome. Like they're green. It looks like a more like a resort or a golf course almost. Right. So we tend to be promoting some of these other programs more than the firearms related stuff, but coming on things like this and talking to Rod with CCFR and things like that, we do have a gem out there. So I think we do need to improve how we promote it to firearms owners.
Yeah.
Tony shoots off gravel. So he doesn't know like the beauty.
Yeah. I don't understand. I would need to visit one day. I haven't done that yet.
It's so cool. You don't even have to put tarps down or anything. It's like pristine. The lawns are manicured.
We just go down on the gravel and we shoot guns. That's how BTSA run. We just do it.
Yeah. Delinda, you made a really good point, or you mentioned it. You said you went and checked out the photos. There were 65 of them. You started liking them. But that's why that's why we take photos. We take them so that people can take them and post them and show that, you know, at your neighbors, your friends, your sister, your Cowtown Tony is shooting. And through social media, we can also promote ourselves, our culture, what we do, and then also the wonderful organizations like Sherwood Park Fish and Game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I did a video in an article featuring SPFGA for Edmonton's best gun ranges. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you ranked it number one or two or maybe three.
I didn't really have rankings there. I had like, here's the ranges. Here's why you want to go to this range. Or here's why you want to go to this range. And for Sherwood Park, it's like if you're on the east side of the city or if you shoot rimfire or if you want to go camping at the same time, like these are all the reasons why you'd want to go with this one versus these other ones. Right. So it's more of like a pros and cons of each of them.
Mm. Yeah. Nope. I think that it's been fantastic. All the hard work that you've been doing, it shows that you're the right person for the position that they've hired. I also think that the association is going to continue to flourish under you and all the volunteers that you have. Again, I'm gobsmacked by the fact that you have 4,000 members and you have volunteers that come out each and every weekend to help run all of these events. So
Absolutely. Okay. And I got to mention, our board is amazing too now. Like they're all volunteers as well. And actually, Nate is a board member. I don't know if you know that, Kelly, but
I didn't.
And some of my other board members are instructors. So Brandon Meir has been teaching archery with our maintenance guy, Don Brockway. And so, yeah, like even our staff are volunteering. So it's a pretty special place, and everybody is really excited about sharing their knowledge and their expertise in that area, in the area that they're familiar with. So,
yeah, it makes us all want to go move to Alberta and join your club.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Cool. Yeah.
Kyle, anybody else? Tony, Kyle? Any other questions?
I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I'm disappointed I never made it over to check out the range while I still lived in Alberta.
Me too. No, honestly,
we didn't run multi-gun matches back then. We do now.
No.
Because like this year they ran the 2-day, and I think starting last year is when they started the monthly multi-gun matches. Last year, maybe the year before.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know, like, my dad, like, growing up, used to shoot black powder at Sherwood Park. Like there's a old pedigree at that range, and I think it's great, like, hearing getting into the EPSC and the multi-gun everything else and just expanding, because there is that history there, and just to expand on that I think that's great what you guys are doing.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely, great foundation, and we're just trying to add more things to it.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on tonight, Delinda. Hey. Love chatting with you. Love seeing you again, virtually. Again, I'll be out there in Alberta next year for sure.
Good.
We'll have to talk later so that we can make sure that we're scheduling the lady seat around your calendar. but again, congratulations on all the stuff that has happened at Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association. Again, I have to say it. You are the right person for that job. Your expertise in so many different areas and all the positivity that you bring to it, it's just flourishing. So thank you for doing that. Again, if people want to go and check out Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association, where do they go? And if they have questions, who can they contact?
So we don't give tours anymore because it's just too time intensive. So we do have some photos of some of the different areas that you can see on our website. We are planning on getting some video together so that we can show that too. So have like a virtual tour. But unfortunately, like I used to give little tours to folks and show them around, and it's just, it's too much. So check out the website. And then if you know somebody that's a member, they can certainly bring you and get a guest pass for you and show you around. And or you could participate in one of these outdoor women's programs or youth or naturalist things. And so you get in the door, check out the presentation, and then you can kind of look
become
around
a member.
That way.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much.
Cool. All right. Thanks.
Thanks for the invite, guys. It was nice talking with you. And you know how to find me for subsequent interviews.
All right. Thanks again to Delinda for coming on and talking to us about Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association and all that they are doing in Alberta. Such a great club to belong to. People should, 4,000 people. Maybe Ontario should learn from
a lot of members.
That's a lot of members. They also have a lot of land.
This is true, but still. Pretty cool. All right, let's get into listener feedback. I think we've been hitting our Facebook as we go through. YouTube comments. Tony, do you want to talk about those?
Yep. YouTube comments. We have two from Eddie and one from 007. First from Eddie, Random Dave, 2.2 million for 80 acres is a steal out in the West Coast, I'm guessing. You will only get a regular 50 by 80 foot lot with a tear down house. Okay. It's kind of sad. He also mentioned the shooting edge has nice prohibs to shoot. I was there a couple of years back during Beretta Day and tried a few of their full autos. Wow. Beretta full autos? the CX4 Storm. That's also programmed.
The pistol.
Now, so.
The pistol with the lever on the front.
Yep.
Oh, God. All right. Yeah. 007 Kentles says, Adriel, what Canadian doesn't have a 303 British in stock?
I don't.
I wish I did. I want a Ross.
They're too expensive. British 303s.
Do I need more? I have two 303 Savages as well. Mm. That's a fun one at PAL courses. 303 Savage, 303 British. Put them both on the table.
Oh, God. But they all use 308 bullets.
No one's messed it up. No one's messed that up. Everyone gets it just fine.
No, I'm saying just the reloading thing. Like the first time I started reloading 223, it's like, okay, for 223, I need 224 bullets?
Oh, Tony, that's not even the worst one. The worst one, in my opinion,
38 Special
Magnum and 38 Special.
Well, how are they interchangeable? It doesn't make any sense. The 44 clean it up, right? 44 Special, 44 Mag.
Yeah, they did it right with that one.
Okay.
That's all the YouTube comments we have.
Thanks, Tony. Everything else I think we've covered. So I know the guys already talked to you about going over to Cabela's. Go onto our website. If you're going to go to Cabela's, go onto our website and click on that link, and it'll give us a little bit of money. But just to let you know that every once a month we will go through what everybody has bought, and we'll just do a little bit of play-by-play or review of what you bought. And it'll be lots of fun. I think we're going to be doing it next show because it's going to be the beginning of the month. So it'll be that time. Go on over to our website, click on the link. Brown Owls, is that up, Adriel, or is it just Cabela's?
Yep. So, Brown Owls.
No,
as well.
We got both.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Or if you need to go Brown Owls.
In the US, or you just want to buy something from the US. Yeah.
All right. If you'd like to email the show, we didn't have any new emails this week. So, but if you'd like to email the show, go to slimefireradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you as well. So, what do we got for recommendations or shout outs? Adriel, do you have any?
Nope.
Excellent. Tony.
I'll give a shout out to the volunteers and the guests at the BTSA Young Gun events and to the gentleman who lent me the Bull Armory 2011-ish.
Yeah.
Gun to shoot. That's great.
Okay. Kyle, do you got any?
Nope, but I will add that we now have a 3D printing channel on Discord.
Awesome. Well done. I'm going to give a shout out to my brother. It's his birthday today. He's he's one of our active listeners, but he is also one of the one of the best gunnies that I know. So just wanted to say happy birthday to him, Eddie. And every time we talk about Eddie, I think it's my brother because that's his name, but it's not him. Just saying.
You think?
Okay. No, it's not him. No, that's not my brother. Go on over to Discord. Apparently, we have a 3D channel, a 3D printing channel now. So thank you to Kyle for doing that. Go watch us on all of the channels. Join the CCFR because it's important. And guess what? We'll see you guys next week. Have a good
next
night.
Week.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.